Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. And it's good to be here one more time. Thank God that we're here. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. And like I always say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we're glad that you tuned in to Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And I am your host, as I just stated, Michael Eric Cannon, and I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. So we'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, and all of our Twitter followers. Again, we thank you for being tuned in to Truth Ministries. So we thank God that we are here and knowing that the year is almost gone. So I'm glad to be back. I was out of town for a little bit and schedule kind of got jiggled around a little bit, but I'm back in now. At this last Wednesday, November 29th, 2017, so the last Wednesday of November, we are back, and I thank God for it. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul's letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, and he encourages them. He has so many words of exhortation and comfort and the believer's position and the warfare that we're in and how we need to understand the will of God and what happened with the death, the burial, the resurrection, what happened with the descent when he descended into the lower parts and he ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things and the ministry that he gave and how we need to be unified and how we have to realize who our enemy is, and putting on the whole armor of God and having utterance in the ministry, and most important of all, to go with everything, pray always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. So that is our job. That is our duty, to pray for one another, not just for ourselves, but for one another. So this is not a selfish way. So knowing that God's great love for us, as he said himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he goes on to say, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So it's just so very important of what he has said to us in the scriptures. So he goes on, he says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. So the ETH is so important on the believeth. So if you keep on believing, you won't be condemned because you'll do what he says. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth good, that doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Then he goes on to say, as he continues, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So it's all about what is written in the scriptures. So that's what we say. That is our job to do, is to search the scriptures. St. John 5:39, as Jesus says, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. He's says, talking about the scriptures. So we're continuing on here, and should you desire to call in, you can call in at 929-477-2285. Our call-in number, 929-477-2285. Should you have a question or should you have a comment, you are welcome to comment, or if you have a question pertaining to, especially to the lesson that we are, our thought and lesson that we're talking about on today. So my title, The Godhead, so that is my theme, that this is, we know that there is only one God, and so he is the head of all things. So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the Godhead. There is only one person in the Godhead. We do not believe, nor does the Bible support or teach a Trinity, but God can never be contained. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be, he's always God. So that's why Apostle Paul was writing and encouraging Timothy, his son in the gospel, in the second chapter of Timothy, when he says about all men lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, and prayer and supplication be made for all men, for kings, everyone, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, for this is good and acceptable. And he goes on to say there is one God and one mediator. You know, he goes on the fourth verse, talking about the will of God, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Then he goes on to say there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So we know that there is only one. So that's why Isaiah wrote and says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So that's why we always emphasize the oneness of God, because there's only one. And when John the Revelator in the book of the Revelation, because we have just finished going through the book of St. John on my last lesson, the last part of October, and then so as we're continuing on here, we're in his epistles. He has three epistles. Then he also wrote the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So he wrote St. John, the first and second, third epistle of John, or letters, and he wrote the Revelation, the book of the Revelation, we call it, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So we thank God that we are here, and it's a blessing to be here. And also had a birthday earlier, the middle part or so, just past the middle part of this month, so I'm glad to be another year older. So I'm glad to be here, and I thank God, because it's only because of him. He kept me by his mighty power all of these years. And so, yes, sometimes I didn't think I was going to make it, but it's not how we feel, but it's because of him. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we're just as glad to, I'm glad to be here. It is a good thing to give thanks and to call upon the name of the true and the living God. And we call him Jesus the Christ in the English. So we know there's many, the translations, there's between 6,000 and 7,000 languages. So everyone in the world, there's many different languages. And so we call him by his name in the English. His name is Jesus. So in that day, our names are going to be in his forehead. We're going to reign with him forever and ever. What is our new name going to be? We don't know. In that day, his name, what is it going to be to all of the bride? I don't know how many people of God, saints of God, the number is just the sand of the sea, innumerable as the stars of heaven, the earthly seed, the heavenly seed, the redeemed ones. It's going to be so many, there's only going to be a few compared to the number that are lost, that are in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So that's what the gospel message is all about, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the ascension, and sending back the Holy Ghost, and him coming back again for his bride. And he's going to pour out his wrath. So that's why Apostle Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica and lets them know God hasn't appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're continuing on Only Believe, because that's why everything was written, that we should believe, and that is the gospel message. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So that's what the message is all about. Keep on believing. Have faith in God. So in our today we're talking about fellowship with the Father. So fellowship is a very closeness. It's almost like it's so intertwined. You search it out in the dictionary. They call it intercourse. So everybody don't have fellowship with the Father. So that's how close it is. And so you have to be careful that you don't bid people Godspeed. So we'll get to that, God willing, as we move on here in these epistles of John, because he addresses that subject too, about bidding people Godspeed. So again, I say, this is your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. And should you desire to call in as we're getting ready to get into our lesson, you can do so. If you have a question or should you have a comment, you're very welcome. 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So as we go on here on today, so we want to talk about if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So our fellowship, it truly, John says, is with the Father. So we go on here. The Apostle John, as unbroken tradition affirms, as an eternal evidence in comparison with the Gospel of John proved, is probably wrote about A.D. 90. So John is a family, this is a family letter. First John is from the Father to his children who are in the world, with the possible exception of the Song of Solomon, the most intimate of inspired writings. The world is viewed as without. The sin of a believer treated as a child's offense of the Father and is dealt with as a family member. The moral government of the universe is not a question. The child's sin is an offense. The law has been met at the cross. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is now advocate with the Father. John's gospel leads across the threshold of the Father's house. The first epistle makes us at home there. A tender word is used for children, technia, born ones, or barons. Paul is occupied with the public position as sons. John with the nearest as born ones of the Father. So he has begotten us. So 1 John is in two principal divisions, the family with the Father, the family and the world. There is a secondary analysis in each division, which occurs the phrase, my little children. So we know. So he goes on, the little children and the secular and religious world. So how the little children may know each other. How the little children must live together, how the little children may know false teachers, the little children assured and warmed. So you cut. That's how you do with children. I have all sons. I'm the father of five sons. I raised five sons. And so you got to know everybody is different, so you got to know how to deal with them. And the same word applies to everyone. There's no two or three different rules, but the same things apply. But the wisdom in it is how to execute it to each one. Some you can just look at. Others you got to be more stern with. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. You're dealing with souls. Everyone, you're dealing with the souls of men. So some people don't like that term, but we are man. We're the humans that God created. He called their name Adam in the fifth chapter of Genesis, the book of the generations of Adam. So, and the Bible goes on to say, as we revealed unto Moses, he called their name Adam. So we came, we were made from the dust of the ground, and the woman, woe man, came out of man. So somebody said, the woman is just a man with a womb. So we're humans, is the thing is. And so even the more important thing is that we are souls. So somebody said we are a soul. Somebody said we have a soul. I have no argument with that. Whether we have one or we are one, we need to save our soul. So if it's ours or we have it, it's the self same thing. What's the difference? So that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have handled, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and handled, looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So he's talking about the master. They were eyewitnesses. The apostles were eyewitnesses. So he goes on to life. The life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So what we have to understand, when you talk about the sonship, you are talking about a office, because there's you can break it down in categories, that the Lord was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is what we you know, people say Father in creation, Son in redemption, the Holy Ghost in the church. Well, he did say that he was a father to Israel. So, I mean, in creation, he was God. He really wasn't the Father in creation. He was a father when he had a nation of people that he said, you know, out of Egypt have I called my son. So the children of Israel was his son at that time, if you want to look at it like that. Now he is the head of the church, which is the body, which is his body. So the born-again baptized believers, the apostolic believers. And so that's the thing that we have to contend with now. There are so many people want to take on our identity. So, and I know, I meditate, I ponder, I search the scriptures, and listen to God. And God is, and his word is synonymous. And so that's the thing nowadays. So many people want to take on the, and the devil is clever. You know, they want to take on the identity of being apostolic, but they don't believe in the oneness at all. And they don't believe in the name of Jesus at all. And some of these lying spirits, as John goes on to give warning here, what they believe in is money, is what they believe in. And so all this so-called sowing the seed, which is a lie, money never was a seed. The seed was never was money. And one is one thing, and the other is another thing. And so sometimes people have a play on things, and they're lying to people, trying to get them to give money, and trying to put the fear of God in them. They don't do it. They ain't gonna diss. God is not a casino. You cannot buy a blessing. He's not a. You can't gamble on him and hoping you turn the wheel and it's a matter of luck. That is a lie. All God demands is the tithe, which is the tenth, which is his, and a free will offering. That's not saying that in our local churches we have things, we have expenses, we special offerings, people are asked to give, and if you can do it, nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying God, according to the word of God, God, only thing you requires is the tenth and a free will offering. Anything else is up to you. You can do whatever you want. You want to give more in the free will offering. There's no amount in the free will offering as far as that goes. So we have we have fellowship with the Father, and so he's in the office of the sonship. And so, as I was saying, in the office of the sonship, he came into the world that he made. And so that's why John wrote, as we back in St. John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the 14th verse, he's saying, then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So just like what we read in our intro. But he came as a son. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He took on a body because a spirit don't have blood and flesh and blood. Just like he told them, he said, touch me, handle me, after he got up from the dead, his resurrection. Spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. So spirit don't have blood. So he had to prepare himself a body. You can read about that in the 40th Psalm and in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. So he came in the volume of the book, like he said, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So he didn't stop being God just because he took on a body and became a man. And then what I was going to say also, as we say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but actually there's three offices that must be fulfilled. One was, I'm talking about him as the Son of God. He was the prophet. That's what they prophesied about in the Law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning himself. That's why he said, these are the things which that I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, in the 24th chapter of St. Luke, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the Law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. He goes on to say, and repentance and remission, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he goes on to say, thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So when the day of Pentecost is fully come, in the second chapter of Acts, that's when the fulfillment of Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Upon your servants and your handmaids I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, which simply means preach. So that is what happened. So he was a prophet. Now he's in the priestly office.
Excuse me. Since he got up from the dead, he is the priest. So this is what they're talking about. And the Psalms give witness. And the book of Hebrews says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he is the priest that ever liveth to make intercession
for us, as the writer says. So he's in the priestly office. So in the 8th chapter of Romans, the writer says, we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he knows what is the mind of the Spirit according to the will of God. So remember now, God's not telling us to do something like people say, well, just when he said to Peter, in the 22nd chapter of Luke, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you that he may have you to sift you as wheat. And he goes on to say, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. So sometimes people say, yeah, he's praying for me now. He told us that we should always pray and not faint. So we don't know how to pray as we ought, because the letters were written to the people of God. The book of Acts is where salvation is. In the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospel writers of the one gospel, they were still under the law. They were ushering in a new and a living way. So you can't leap over the book of Acts and land in Romans. That don't make sense. You got to go through the Acts of the Apostles, which is the salvation gospel, is what that is. But John is writing to people here who are already saved. So he's talking about us having fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he shall be king. So we said the offices that we were talking about, prophet, and I explained a little about the priest. He's a priest right now. That's why he says, seeing that we have a great high priest is passing to the heavens, let us hold fast our profession, in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. So he goes on to say, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Then that's why he says, come, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So I can just rewind back into the book of Matthew 11:28, when the master said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And he goes on to say, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So that's why he said, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. And he goes on to say, to everyone that asketh, receiveth. Him that seeketh, findeth. Him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So we have to continue in prayer. So it's not necessarily, because he said one time when you stand praying, and then the next word in the book of Mark, he said, when you stand praying, then the next word he said, forgive. So it matters not. Yeah, we bow before him. He's a high and lofty God. He dwelleth on high. But there's times we kneel. There's time that doesn't matter. You can be laying on your bed. You could be standing. It's not the position of your body, but is the condition of your heart. You could be driving your car. You don't have to have your eyes closed. You can be binding devils and praying and praising and singing and giving God the glory with your eyes wide open. They don't have to be shut. So that's all your hands in a certain way. We do things in public venue or in public worship, but you can call on him. You can call him by his name. And it doesn't matter about if you're sitting, you're standing. Some people can't kneel. Their knees are so bad. You can pray. Just humble yourself. That has to do with your heart. So we go in on here in our lesson on today. And like I said, should you desire to call in, you can. If you have a question or you have a comment, you're welcome. 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 on this live Block Talk Radio, Truth on Block Talk Radio broadcast on November 29th, 2017. We have about 28 minutes left in this particular broadcast. So as we go on here, so this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So he goes on, he's going to explain himself as he go. If we say that we have fellowship, so remember we talked about the fellowship. It's a special relationship that you have. And then really to make it even more plainer, there's a special relationship that a husband and a wife have that nobody else have. That's why he said, what God have joined together, let no man put asunder. So God is the one that instituted marriage. So he didn't intend for, and that's the problem with marriage. And all these people are, you know, so-called, they call them affairs and all of that stuff. No, it's adultery is what it is. We want to fix it up. She's in love with another man. No, that's you in lust. That's not God. You have a husband. See to that. You have a wife. See to that. So people need to fall in love with one another instead of somebody lying to you, and people be sometimes messing around with another a woman, messing around with another man that got a wife too, and she got a husband. So I mean. And men too. Men messing around with somebody's wife, and the wife he messing around with got a husband. I mean, that's how she's a wife. So people are doing all kinds of things. So, but like I said, that's a special relationship between husband and wife, as it is with Christ and the church. And so as we go on here, so he says, we say that we have fellowship with him. So you want to keep that fellowship the right way. So your relationship with him is entwined or in tune with the fellowship. So if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we find other scriptures. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians church. He was talking about being cleansed with the washing of the water by the word. So the word, so a steady being. We are saved initially when we believed. So that's why when he was writing, he was in the book of Romans, when he was saying, about awake thou to sleep as arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly. Well, that's in the book of Ephesians. But there's also in the book of Romans, he's talking about, I believe in the 15th chapter, about us arising from our sleep, because our salvation is nearer, he says, than when we believed. You know, we say first believed. No, when we believed initially is what he's talking about. So we have to, if we're walking with him, so we don't want to be in darkness. And so he goes on here. He was saying, if we say that, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So what I was going to say was the blood, the Son of God, had to come to shed his blood. So that's why you can't understand the spirit, spiritual things. It takes the Spirit of God to understand spiritual things. That's why people don't understand when he was talking about his father. But he called himself his son. When you look at the genealogies of Adam, all the way back to Jesus, you run those down, it's they're brothers. He is our, as we say, big brother, if you run the genealogies back. So that's why Mary said the Virgin Mary, which it was actual event that happened. So just imagining when people say, we don't know, but it's a good case to make that people knew that the virgin birth was going to take place. It's going to be a young virgin. So who, we don't know who was actually hoping they would be the ones. They were living in that region. But anyway, we know what the scripture says about Joseph wanted to put away Mary. He was espoused to her. She was with child. So he knew, like, how are you going to be with child and you are a virgin? That was unheard of, and it's still unheard of. Only one can create a situation like that was the Lord himself. You're not going to be a virgin and be with child. Trust me. Trust God. That's not going to happen out of the ordinary. So that's why Mary said when she had her salutation with her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. So she asked the question, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? So what she was saying, I'm a virgin. I haven't had relationship with a man. So Luke goes on to let her know. Luke, as he writes, the power of the highest is going to overshadow thee and come upon thee and overshadow thee. It's in Luke 1:35. As we will read the scripture right quick there. And so just, it's not me, but I'll let you know what the scripture has said. And so the angel answered and said unto her, so remember what I was just saying. So he was, I'll just go up a little farther because we're talking right here about the virgin birth and about the Son of God and why he was called the Son of God. So the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, in Luke 1:30, thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called, notice that word, called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto the throne of his, give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's a very legitimate question. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So he's called the Son of God. So the holy thing shall be called the Son of God. That is so very important to take note of that. So he was called the Son of God. And so this is why so many don't know. And so you have to be taught. You have to search the scriptures to find these things out. You have to be more noble, as the Bereans were, more noble than they of Thessalonica, and that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. The things that Paul and all of the other disciples and apostles were preaching about. So that's why he said, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have a fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So he had to take on a body and the sonship to shed blood. So now the blood is in the name of Jesus, the washing of the water by the word. When we pray, when we bind devils, and we were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and the blood is still in his name. And you just start saying the blood of Jesus. If you've been born again, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, the devil knows who you are. You're marked. So he knows the children of God walk with God. So when we say that we have no sin, John goes on here to say, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. So he goes on. So who is that? The ones who have sinned, because you can live free from sin. So that's why I say, as we go on here, we're going to see. He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. So the devil has children. So, you know, we don't like to talk about that either. So if we say that we have no sin, whosoever committed sin, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. So point I wanted to make here, if you have sins, so our sins, the only sins that a child of God should have, and people do things because they don't yield to God, but we shouldn't have sins that you commit, you keep on committing. So that's why he's saying the ETH right there, whoso committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So in other words, if God's seed is in you, we don't practice sin. So the ones who have sinned, what John has said, if we confess our sins, that if you have them, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we hate that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So what our sin should be as a believer? The only sin that we should have to fix, for lack of a better word, and that is the sin of omission, something we didn't do, not commit. That's why they say commit adultery, which means you did it. So you committed sin, whatever it is. All unrighteousness, John says, is sin. So as he goes on, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. So the admonition, the warning is, don't sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So that's why as we going on here in our lesson, we're saying, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In our lesson, as we have already read, and so the Son of God had to take on a body to be able to shed blood, and as we say, the blood still works. And I like it because especially like at the church where I go to, one of our ministers was praying, and I like it that because she was very specific, because she kept saying in her prayer, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Because I've heard people say, when I came from Michigan and now I'm in Florida. So I remember one of our elders, he always, when he prayed, before he preached, he would say, the blood, the blood, the blood. No, that's fine. The blood of Jesus. You got to identify what that is. The blood of Jesus. That is so important. So he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he goes on here to say, he is the propitiation for our sins. Who? The believers. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So you mess up, confess up, and get up and walk. Run for your life. So don't just, you know you messed up, repent. You got to always repent. You got the wrong attitude, the wrong thoughts. God knows all about it. So sometimes we can have the wrong attitude. We can be thinking the wrong thoughts because lust, so because sin is a baby that got to be conceived. That's why John says, let no man say, James, rather, the Lord's brother, that I am tempted of God. He said, God cannot be tempted, neither tempted he any man. And he goes on to say, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then he goes on to say, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. So that's why the saying, no conception, no babies. Don't let lust conceive. Because if it conceive, it's going to bring forth sin. So you have to watch your thoughts. So everything begins with a thought. A book begins with a thought. And things that happen, plots, conspiracies, everything begins with a thought. So the wrong thoughts can end up in horrible things happening. That's not the word that I want. Results. A bad thought can end up with horrible results, is what I wanted to say. And that's where you get premeditated. They say premeditated murder, which means they planned it. They thought about it. They thought about it. That's why you have to, the Bible say, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. So you got to be quick to forgive, quick to say you're sorry, and confront an issue, and don't let it fester and grow. But deal with it and get rid of it, because time is short. We want to be right. That's why he said, "Let us lay aside. Seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses," in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, he said, "Let us lay aside every sin." Every weight, and lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us. And then he goes on to say, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And he goes on to say, for consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. So he took all of that. Surely we can take something from people, because if somebody just want to keep lying and keep offending, then they got a problem, and you need to get rid of away from them, because they are an offensive person. So that's not the will of God that we keep dealing with that kind of stuff. But we are supposed to have love for one another, and pray for one another, and encourage one another, and minister to one another, and use hospitality to one another without grudging, Peter says. So if we go on here, so he said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So that's a big two-letter word, if. So just do what he says. Do what his word says. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and his truth, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him Verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So this is why we have to receive instruction. So even as a child in the natural, you can't leave a child to themselves. They're going to bring your mother to shame. They're going to destroy them, their own selves. That's why we got chastised. No chastening. Nobody want to be chastised. Nobody wants it. So you love your son, you're going to chasten him. So even the Lord. So, you know, talking about the fathers that we had, how they're chastening us. So that's why the writer in Hebrews says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. When you're rebuked of him. And he goes on to say, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He goes on to say, but if we be without chastisement, then are we bastards and not sons. So I came up under the old school, old time way. My father was 40 something years older than me. I got chastised, as we say, I got a whipping. Some people call them killings, but I'm glad I didn't like it then, but I'm glad I got it, because I never been in any trouble. And now I have children, grown adult children and grandchildren. And so I just thank God I've ministered in the prison, did prison ministry. I've never been arrested. Thank God. And, you know, some people get arrested because they protest and all that. I've never even done that. But I'm just saying, I've never been in trouble. Not because I didn't do nothing. I did little stupid things. I've never done just this, try to rob somebody and all that kind of stuff. I did little devilish things before I got saved. But thank God, what I'm saying is chastening does work. So his word is right. So I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and you, and in you, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness until now. So remember now, we're talking about having fellowship. And the way you're going to have fellowship, you're going to have to walk in the light, have fellowship one with another and fellowship with the Father. You don't have fellowship with him if you're at odds with your brother. You need to get that thing straight so you can have be clear with the Father, not having ill feelings against your brother. And I know sometimes people do things, and some people are just may live out of state or whatever, just hard to deal with. You just have to keep praying on that thing. But they're ignorant. You know, some people just will. They just have a reputation of being confrontational. So that, what that does is make you don't want to deal with a person. I don't like dealing with a person who, if everything got to be their way, that's selfish. Because even in a marriage, it's give and take. It's not 50-50. It's not 65-35. It's not 75-25. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. So I'm thoroughly convinced. I was married for a long time before my wife passed away, and I'm thoroughly convinced I was married for most of my life, longer than I ever was single. If I never get married again, I've been married longer than I was single, no matter what. But I'm thoroughly convinced you can't be a selfish person and be a married person or be a father or a mother. You can't be. And you gotta, in a marriage, you gotta consider your wife. It's gotta be about her. And then if you're a wife, it's gotta be about him. So in other words, you gotta consider one another no matter what. That's not saying you don't have your space or things that you like to do, but you look forward to your time that you have together. It's about each other. And that way, no one will come between your marriage. That's the kind of marriage that God wants, is where you're serving God and you're serving one another. So you have the same desires. You have the same, a lot of things you'll do together, and you support one another. So your heart, she's your heart, and he's your heart. If you're a woman, the husband is your heart. You're the husband, your wife is your heart. So you keep it like that. That's the way God would have it. No one else would come between you if you love one another like the word of God says that you should. So he goes on here, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So we're talking about walking in the light. Is what we're talking about, having fellowship. Only way you're going to do that, you got to walk in the light. So he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So that's your brother. You have a different kind of love for your siblings. You have a different kind of love for your relatives. You have a different kind of love for your parents. You have a different kind of love for your grands. You have a different kind of love for God, and you have a different kind of love for your spouse and for your fellow man. So people think, no, you can't love two. You got a special love for your wife. That's where Solomon got in so much trouble. His wives turned his heart from Jehovah, and his heart was not perfect, as was David, his father. So that people talking all that, and it's, no. And not only that, the Lord fixed that, but he just kept talking about loving him, keeping his commandments. And it didn't change in the New Testament. The first great commandment, the Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he goes on to say, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So in other words, if you love him like you should, you're going to love your fellow man like you should. You're not going to do nothing. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to hurt. You ain't trying to hurt yourself. You ain't going to do nothing to hurt your neighbor. So you'll be just what you should be. But the problem is, I'm thoroughly convinced when you really think about it, too many people don't love themselves. So how are they going to love their neighbor as themselves? They mad at this? They're mad at their own self. So thank God for the lesson on today. So he goes on here. And our time is just about gone here. So he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So the only way you're going to overcome that wicked one, you're going to have to walk in the light. And so we will talk to you again. We are going to end this lesson for now, and we will be back on next time. So thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Remember now, the subject is God. He was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And the most paramount question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? God bless you. We'll talk to you on next time.
on fire.